Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use. And I just have to say, I'm so excited to have the smiling face across from me today on the show.
Aw, thanks,
Sarah Cody, it's so great to have you on the program. We've got so much to talk about. And again, I'm Ann Baldwin, and we want to welcome all of you for tuning in this morning. So if you don't know, but you have to know, Sarah Cody's been around for a while doing some great things, yep. More than 20 years mm-hmm. in broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
That in itself is a major accomplishment.
Thank you. You've
got more accomplishments on the table. So, you know, you've been sharing stories. And the great thing about you is you're at WTNH and the stories that you tell, how you enterprise these places and these things and bring the emotion out is just so fantastic. I just love every second of it. You've won numerous awards. I mean, anything else you want people to know about you that, I mean, I've got a bio here that's 2 pages, but that would take up our whole show.
I've been a crazy passionate Red Sox fan for the past couple years. Okay. That's something that people might not know, although I'm starting to like, I wore my shirt on set the other day as a joke and that kind of thing. So I don't know. Is that interesting?
Why just the past couple of years?
I was as a teenager. My dad and I used to watch them together all the time. And then just life, you know, I just kind of got away from it. And my son, who's in college in Boston, started working for them, like a very entry-level fan engagement job last year. So to kind of bond with him, I got into it again. And now I'm like, I got to see every game. I got to like see every post. I'm really into it.
And you're bringing it back to your dad, right?
Yeah.
The memory of your dad and kind of, you know, doing that as a tribute to him as well. So, but I got to tell you, your reporting and the things that you do and the stories that you do. Talk about some of the awards that you've won, though, because of your, you know, it just, you know, people don't realize, I think, what the process is that goes into telling a story, especially on television news. But you're one of those people that finds the story yourself, puts it together, sets it up. I mean, we don't have people in the business doing that for us, right?
Yeah, we don't have. I have a unique role, and I'm really happy with it. And I'm so happy that they sort of allow me that after all this time and experience. And it does make it a very sort of organic, full circle experience for me. And I'm, you know, I live in a small town, and I joke that I'll be walking the dogs, and someone will put down the window and be like, hey, Sarah, I got a story for you. You know, I mean, I'm sure that happened to you too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You sort of find stories everywhere, and then that story tells you about a different story, and it becomes very organic. So thank you. I really enjoy, you know, I do the sort of tourism pieces, bringing interesting places to life. But I also do a lot of stories about families and advocacy and bringing in interesting people out into the open here in Connecticut. And all of it is just very important to me. It's storytelling and sharing.
Right. And you're also the weekend anchor.
Yes.
Which is the morning anchor on weekends. And so, you know, you get the best of both worlds, right? You get to sit behind the desk. People get to know you there.
Yes.
But then they get to know you through your storytelling.
Well, so I'm sure you know from all of your years in the business, I for many years did these 2-minute pieces, many, many years, 20 years. But being on for 2 hours, people get to know you in a mm-hmm. different way and reach out and be like, oh, you like this and you like that. And Sarah, I thought you'd be interested. It's nice. You know, it's a different connection with the audience.
Well, I think that says a lot about you, Sarah, that because it makes you approachable. You know, there's some people that are on television that do what they do, but I don't know if I feel like I could walk up to them on the street and say, hey, I feel like I know you. And you've got one of those personalities
that
is just very approachable and just open. And I think that says a lot about why you've had a 20-year career in broadcasting. You're doing great.
Oh, thanks, Anne.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about why you're really here.
Okay.
So you reached out to me a while back, mm-hmm. and we've been talking about you're going to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about what went into, because it's not an easy task.
No, it's really not.
So what went into that? What made you decide, because of all the places you've seen in Connecticut, and the name of the book is Around Every Corner of Connecticut, 100 Towns to Explore Every Season. Why did you decide to take your experience and put it into a book?
Well, I always knew I wanted to write a book, and I've done a fair amount of writing, not just for TV, but for, I had a column in The Current for a bunch of years. I've written for magazines. So it was always sort of like a bucket list goal for me to do this. And when I really said, you know, the boys are older now, my sons are older, I'm ready to kind of tackle something new, I had tried a podcast. You know, I've always been sort of proud of the fact that I try to get around and do different things in media.
Right.
And it just felt last year like it was the right time to say, I'm going to write a book. And when I met with my publisher and I made a pitch, really just the tourism aspect of my career and my interests was what popped to mind. And, you know, I really just, I love Connecticut. I've gotten to know it so well. People will reach out to me on Facebook, friends and viewers, and say, we have friends, you know, visiting from California, Sarah, where should we go? Like, this was something that people had turned to me for.
Right.
So I just thought, I want to dig in a little deeper to the state.
Well, and you've done that, and it's just such a beautiful book. I mean, the photos, the writing. Talk a little bit about the images that are in the book. Where did those come from? Are these that you took?
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I don't think it's made very clear in the book. It is a little bit when you get into the fine print here, but I took probably 75% of all the photos. The other 25% have the photo credits on it, but that was... I've always loved photography, and that was very full circle for me to do, too. You know, I would go somewhere, I would photograph it, I would walk around, I would think, then get back, and, you know, what really represented my experience there, and send that in. And it was also very, you know, that was labor-intensive, organizing all those photos.
Of course.
Yeah. So it was a big part of the project, and I enjoyed it. And I really, you know, I sort of, when I started writing, it was... last January, a year ago January, and I wrote from pretty much January to last August, passed it in August, and I really just kind of thought about all the places I loved, wrote them all down, what towns were those, you know, I just sort of organized my thoughts.
Right.
And in the process, you know, it had to be a certain amount of words, I had to hit a goal. So I kind of got down everything that came to mind and then went searching. And that's how I learned more about the state. And so it was really, really fun. I revisited some of my favorite places, and I found a whole bunch more.
So you didn't take your experience when you reported on the story and write from that. You went back to these places, you know, with this book in mind.
I'm a rule follower, Anne. So I started all over again for everything. I wanted it to be.
Well, why is that a rule?
I didn't want to sort of duplicate work I'd done for somebody else. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I wanted it all to be original for this experience. Okay. So, you know, my knowledge is there.
Yes.
But I went out and kind of gathered new interviews, new information for the book specifically.
Was it hard to decide? Again, we're speaking with Sarah Cody, who is a news anchor and reporter at WTNH and now a new author.
Yep.
Which is, the smile on your face says it all. I mean, what an accomplishment, but it's a lot of work, I understand. But of all the places you've been in Connecticut, and I don't think people understand, we're a small state, but it's so rich. There's so many things to do. Was it hard to take all these things and kind of narrow it down to a few?
Not really, because it really didn't end up being a few. I mean, to fill all these pages, it was a lot. So like I said, I kind of like wrote down everything I had in mind at first, and then I went out searching and I found some new locations that I'd love to talk with you about.
So you have to have some faves.
Yeah, so my dad was my person,
I know.
He died in November 2019, and he always had wanted me to write a book. We talked about it many times. And this is kind of a cute story. I dedicated the book to him.
Yes.
And one of the things I bring up in the dedication is that he kept saying to me, he was a stockbroker, and he kept saying to me, Sarah, I have a client with a child who's working on the restoration of Weir Farm National Park. Have you been there? No, Dad, I haven't been there. But it's awesome. They keep telling me about it. It's so interesting. At this time, he was telling me this. The boys were small, and I was busy, and I wasn't just sort of taking the time to go to Wilton and explore,
right.
You know? But when he passed away, and we talked about it several times over the years, and I said, Dad, I'll follow up on it. I will. he passed away, the book project came along, and I said, for my dad, I got to go down and visit Weir Farm National Historic Park. And Anne, it's spectacular.
Is it?
So I wrote in the dedication, you know, Dad, you were right.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I wish he knew that, but maybe he does.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he does.
So I'll tell you a little bit about it if you're interested. Do you know much about it?
No. I mean, from what I read in the book.
Yeah,
but,
right. Yeah. It's the only national park that's dedicated to Impressionist painting. And I thought that was interesting because we think of Monet, we think of sort of the European Impressionists. But there was really a colony right here in America and in Connecticut. And you learn about them at Weir Farm, but also at the Florence Griswold Museum in Old Lyme and the Bush Holly House Museum in Greenwich. They mm-hmm. also talk about American Impressionism. But back to Weir Farm, it was the home of J. Alden Weir from the 1880s to 1919. He was considered a pioneer here in American Impressionism. It's a 68-acre farm. He invited people to paint there in plain air, which means, you know, they would just find a spot on this gorgeous farm.
Yes.
And what they do is they offer a map. When you get there, you get a map that's called Walk the Artscape. And you can walk to different places and see a piece of art on the brochure that was painted in that spot.
Oh, wow.
And so you can appreciate the lighting, the time of day. It's just really, really cool. And when you're there, you see the family home. You can tour that. You see these two amazing studios where Weir and another artist painted, and they're filled with all original material and just like delightful places. There's a pond where you walk down to the pond. I think it's a 2-mile loop, and there was sort of a portable art studio there where he would go down and paint. And they make it really user-friendly there. There's a copy of one of his paintings, and they invite you to touch it so that you can feel the brush strokes and the layers of paint that were involved in Impressionism painting.
Mm-hmm.
And they even lend you a backpack with art supplies in it if you want to go out and paint in plein air.
And there's nothing like that. You know, you remind me, I was just down in Hyannisport, and I can't tell you, we were riding bikes around, how many people we ran into that just had their easel up and their paints out, and they're just looking at a landscape, and I had to stop. I had to talk.
Yeah,
I had to.
Sure.
It's just an incredible thing. And why not? You don't have to have lessons. You don't have to be a painter. But give it a shot. Oh, that's really a backpack with all the stuff in it to paint your own picture.
I just found it a really peaceful, different. Interesting.
Yeah.
Place that I think for anyone would make a really great afternoon.
Yeah, that's great. All right, what else were some of your favorites? Yeah, I know Old Newgate Prison.
Yeah, have you been there?
Yeah, I have been there. I took my kids there. I think it freaked them out a little bit.
But how many years were you there?
It's been probably 20 years ago that we were there.
So it was closed for 10 years.
A long time.
In the heart of my tourism reporting. Yes. So I had never been there.
Uh-huh.
And it had reopened. And I said to my son, who was 17 at the time, he had the day free. And I was like, do you want to come with me? I'm heading out to Old Newgate. He's like, sure. And when I say we had a great time and he was so into it, and you know, as a mom, that's a tough age.
It is to
entertain a young man.
Right.
He was really into it. And it's a super cool place. Just to go over in case anybody doesn't know, it's in East Granby. It's designated a National Historic Landmark and recognized as the first chartered copper mine and the first state prison in North America. It was a prison in the 1770s.
Right.
So you get there, you kind of explore the above ground prison ground, which I found really fascinating in itself. But then you take a tour. Did you do the tour?
Yes.
Yeah. And you go down. It's a 30-minute guided tour. You go down 75 feet below the surface. It's 52 degrees down there. It's cold. It's wet. It's dark.
It's creepy.
It's creepy. It's a 100-yard loop.
Yeah.
And just super cool. But the woman, Morgan Bengel, who I interviewed for the book about the location, says, you know, it is cool, and it's been romanticized about with escape stories and intrigue. But you also have to remember that, you know, people were kept down there in inhumane conditions.
Oh, yeah. You can still see some of the where they put the chains on the wall, the big rings where they were chained up.
For sure. And so they try in some of the exhibits on the ground level to really dive into that and relate it to incarceration today so that we make it relevant and learn some lessons.
You know, and that was a lesson for my kids. I said, this is prison. You know, they were young. I'm like, and I think it kind of scared them straight a little bit because they didn't know what a real prison looked like, but this is what it used to look like. And this is the stuff, the rich history and the lessons that we can all learn, regardless of our age, and the experiences that we can share with our kids. So, yeah, that's a good one. And that's near where I live. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that experience.
I think it was Morgan who said to me, there's really no other place like this.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yep.
And to have something like that right here, it's not the only unique place we have. I mean, we really have a lot of cool destinations at our fingertips.
We do. So I want to remind folks that we're talking with Sarah Cody from WTNH, also author of Around Every Corner of Connecticut, 100 Towns to Explore Every Season. Sarah, I want to let people know now, and then we'll keep talking about the book. Where can they get it?
You can get it almost anywhere. It was on pre-sale on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's been there for quite a while. But I walked into Books A Million in Waterford the other day, and it was
there
just sitting
was.
There.
Yay.
I walked into the Griswold Inn store in Essex, and it was just sitting there. It's not officially supposed to come out until August 6th, but it's getting places.
It is.
So and you'll find it almost anywhere you buy your books.
What's the reaction been? And I know you're doing a lot of book signings.
Yeah.
You're inviting people. Mm-hmm. You got a book launch coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how exciting. It's so different from what you do on a day-to-day basis that, I mean, it's just got to make you feel so good. What's the reception been?
So far, good, but people are really just getting it now.
Okay.
So from the few people that I've heard from, they say it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's so packed with info. I think what's sort of fun, too, is I included some family photos and, you know, with the Mommy Minute column and different things I've done over the years. Like, people know my boys. So to kind of find little pictures of them throughout and our different journeys, I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah, you have very handsome, nice boys.
Thank
it looks
you.
Like it, you know, and they're
wonderful.
They're doing great. And, and just this sense of accomplishment. And what was the process for you to go through? How many revisions did you, I mean, are these your words? Did you have to edit it or?
I have an editor. Mm-hmm. Not a ton was changed. It was mostly like picky little things, writing out numbers instead of showing numbers, you know, like things like that. Gosh, I wrote from, like I said, from January to August last year. I revised it myself many times, but I did kind of have my layout in mind. And, you know, the way it looks is pretty much how I turned it in with very minor changes. And then, you know, it was just a real working with my editor and the different people there to get all the pictures in, to get all the courtesies right, to get the layout done, to double check the layout. I mean, it's a laborious but very interesting process.
But you know, the thing is too, that you had to pick, or you did pick certain locations, but I'm sure there's so many more.
I could write a different book.
Well, maybe you're going to do that,
I could write
that,
part
right?
two.
Are you going to write part two?
Maybe. You know, I haven't approached that yet, but I had a great experience, so perhaps. And there was one woman on Facebook who left me a comment, why didn't you cover this town?
I know.
And it really wasn't, I really didn't think about it that way. It was really what jumped out at me.
Exactly.
And I would love to learn more.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always other things
always
to cover.
More,
and there's always critics, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. So you talked about your father being involved, and what advice do you have? I mean, it was a labor of love for you, right? Would you recommend people who have something in their heart or something in their head that they want to put into a book form? Would you recommend they do it?
Sure. I mean, I would be ready for a lot of work.
And expense. It's not cheap, right?
I haven't put a lot of money into
it,
but I don't know what I'll make either. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It is a labor of love.
Right. And that's not your motivation, right?
No.
It's to get rich off of selling this book, but it's another added layer of who Sarah Cody is.
It is. And I think that's really what it was about, just sort of a goal for me. And, you know, I would encourage anyone to do it, but be ready for a lot of work. It was a lot of work writing it, and now marketing it is a lot of work, and it is on the author to do a lot of that work.
Exactly. Yeah. Did you have the family support, I'm assuming? Because also, you almost have to isolate yourself, right, to get your thoughts down, because there's so many distractions going on. There's so much going on in life. You got to sit and focus.
I had to say, they were completely supportive, but to that point, last summer, I had to say a couple times to them, I'm writing a book. I need a couple hours here. They'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so yes. And I think I'm at the time in my life, I was so busy with the boys and juggling work and motherhood for so long, you know, they're kind of on their way. So it was the time for me to do this.
I also could see you, not that I'm telling you what to do, but writing a book about some of the stories that you've covered mm-hmm. as well. Just some of the heartwarming, touching yeah. stories and the people that you've met. I mean,
that was on my mind, too, when I wrote my publisher the pitches. That was sort of my secondary pitch, and that might come along too. I think I felt this was a little bit more right there in my brain, you know what I mean, like doable. And for the first book, let's just do something that's really doable. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be very thoughtful, and I would love to do that too.
So I have a question that's kind of off topic.
Okay.
I see a lot about Maeve.
Oh yeah,
Maeve. And your relationship with Maeve.
It's a good story, actually. I'm glad you asked.
Can you share a little bit
sure.
of that? Because I'm curious.
I don't think Maeve or her mom would mind. So okay. I would be happy to.
Okay.
During the pandemic, I did a story time with Sarah. And I loved reading to the boys. I've always loved books and children's books. And I thought, I'm kind of bored at home, and let's do this story time on Facebook. And I did it 3 times a week, an hour. I roped in my dog, Lucy. It was story time with Sarah and the literary dog, Lucy. I got to tell you, Anne, for years, it's kind of slowed down a little bit now, but people love that little story time, and it resonated with people. And for years, I would see people out on the street, and they'd be like, story time with Sarah.
Aww.
When I would think they would say, you know, something else for
yeah.
my career.
Right,
It was that. And Maeve was a viewer. And she is on the spectrum, and she was having a lot of trouble in the pandemic, kind of shut down. And we connected online and kind of made the leap to connect over text, I think. And it went from that, which is, you know, it's not really common to make a connection like that with a viewer, but it was right.
It was right.
And we have become real friends. And she did really well, you know, getting out of that kind of quiet time she was in the pandemic. She's doing really well in general. She was just in Chicago for the Miss Amazing pageant.
Aww.
And she was in it last year, too. She sings like a bird.
Really?
She did really well in the pageant. She came up runner-up in her category. And she's a very special girl, and it's been a very special relationship for me.
And isn't that great? It's almost
yes.
like the daughter you didn't have,
yeah.
right? And that a big sister, if you will.
Yes.
And you've got the parental involvement and their blessing for you two to have this relationship.
I mean, I'm very good friends with her mom, too.
Yes.
So, yes, I think more I'm like Auntie Sarah, you know,
yeah.
Or, you know, her big sister, like you said.
Right. Well, that just says a lot about you, too. And, you know, people gravitate towards you, right? It's just what you put off. It's your aura.
Thank you.
Right?
It
really is. So what's coming up next with the book? Do you have any events coming up that you want people to know about?
Oh, gosh. I maybe should have brought the date, shouldn't I?
Oh, that's okay.
I didn't, but I do. And I'm posting them on Facebook.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to follow up and look on my Facebook page, you will find out more. I've got Bank Square Books in Mystic coming up
mm-hmm.
In August, Essex Library, Cheshire Library, RJ Julia in September.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Yep. The Golden Owl, a cool bookshop in New London coming up. The American Mural Project, which is out of Winsted, and I write about them in the book.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have an author talk
nice.
With me. So yes, I do have probably about 10 of them.
So it's not just a book signing. You talk about the book. You talk about your experience.
A little of both.
Oh,
some
right.
of them are just signings,
uh-huh.
and some of them are book talks.
Right. So where can people get the book again? The title is Around Every Corner of Connecticut, 100 Towns to Explore Every Season. And, you know, really, the images in here, the narrative is just fantastic. And you really dug deep into giving us information that most people, you know, wouldn't know, right?
Well, I say it's a tourism book with a personal spin. And I really think that was achieved. You know, I
mm-hmm.
wanted it to be like, this is Sarah's. These are Sarah's thoughts and advice, you know, and I do think it came off that way, and I'm proud of it. It does
you
look good.
Be.
And you, like I said, you can buy it on Amazon, but if you want to support your local booksellers,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a great thing to do.
It is, absolutely.
It's going to be in local bookshops, too.
And there's nothing like opening a book and smelling it.
Well,
is that the first thing you did when you got it? I love the smell
Anne
of a
Nyberg
new book.
Anne told me that. She said,
she did.
She
I love
said,
Anne.
Just wait till you hold your
yes.
book for the first time, Sarah.
Yes.
And when that box came to the house, I have a video of it on Instagram.
I saw it.
It's a wow. I mean, it is.
It is.
Because, you know, you've worked on it for so long, and then all of a sudden you're like, this is it.
Right. So Anne must be proud of you, too.
She's been great. She's been very supportive.
She's so supportive of women and whatever they're doing. I just, another person that I just love, love, love. So we got a few minutes to wrap things up. So what else do you want to mention about this that, you know, is going to motivate people to, you know, it's a great gift. It's, you know what else it is? It's a great table topper, you know?
And somebody said it would be a great Christmas gift, and it's kind of coming in that time in the fall where that is something that people could think about. I will tell you a cute story.
Okay.
I got a text from a friend yesterday. She's about 30. She just had a baby. And she said, me, my baby, and my mom, so three generations of women, are going to do the Around Every Corner of Connecticut Challenge. And the three of us, as a bonding experience, over the next few years, are going to try to get to all of the 100 towns that you mention and do these things that you say. And
how cool is that?
She said, be sure to share this idea with everybody. You know, I think it's a great idea. I said, I agree. So I thought that was really cute.
And think about that. Sarah wrote about 100 towns. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Yep.
And you personally went to each and every one of them.
I did, and I put a ton of miles on my car.
I bet. I bet.
But it was fun, you know, and some of them I've been to and some of them I hadn't. And, you know, I mentioned it to you. It was an interesting time to be doing this book after the pandemic because a lot of the destinations said to me, you know, we went online ticketing, we went virtual tours, and some of that has stuck. And in terms of virtual tours, I have a lot of information in this book for people with special needs or physical or developmental disabilities. And the virtual tours turned out to be really a way that people are trying to make historic destinations accessible.
Right.
So there's a lot of information in here about that, which I think makes the book unique too.
So go to all of Sarah Cody's social.
Yes.
On Facebook. You're posting everything.
I'm on Facebook.
You're on Facebook.
I'm on Instagram, probably those two the most. And I did make a page just for the book on Instagram, and I'd love to boost that up a little bit. So anyone who wants to follow it, it's at Around Every Corner CT. And I'm sharing my pictures and some videos of the different destinations in the book.
Well, Sarah Cody, thank you so much. You're a busy lady.
And thank you.
And for you to come in here and talk about your accomplishment and, you know, congratulations. And I never say good luck. I say continued success.
Because, thank you,
Anne. You know, you're just a bright light and keep spreading the good word. That's what you do.
You're wonderful too, Anne. I really appreciate it. And you're, you know, you're a mentor for me and a lot of us. And I do think it's important for women in media here in Connecticut to have that bond. And we do.
Come together because it's not easy,
it's
right?
Not, yep.
We smile, but we cry. Right? It's just the way that goes. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. Again, Around Every Corner of Connecticut, 100 towns to explore every season. It's a wonderful book. It's a great read. So we hope that you'll pick it up and follow Sarah Cody on all of her social media platforms. Thanks again, Sarah. And thanks to you folks for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.